well to tell us more about this and to also get the reaction to the news of the impending retrenchments. I'm joined on the line by the president of the Broadcasting Electronic Media and Allied Workers Union, Mr. Hannes de Boysen. Mr. de Boysen, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Karima. Thank you.
Now, the SABC is said to be in a dire financial situation and has been for a very long time. It posted a massive 622 million rand loss for the year ended 31 March 2018. And of course, the Auditor General said the SABC was commercially insolvent as it was unable to pay its debts on time. So, of course, you've warned about this consistently during the cloudy years and in your complaints. Do you feel that the retrenchments that need to happen is part of a legitimate strategy to deal with cost cutting? Or do you feel that you are being made to pay the price for bad management and from whom monies have still not been recuperated? I'm talking about people like Claudia Mutsoneng and others.
Well, I think, you know, as we've said previously, and as you correctly said, we warned against this. For a long time, we've been saying that there needs to be intervention. The previous boards that were supposed to exercise oversight, they did not do so. And now we're sitting with a situation that where 2,200 people will be butchered by the SABC, will be out of a job by the end of January if they get their way. And that is, of course, grossly unfair. And logic just dictates to one that, it is impossible that 2,200 people has been working for the SABC, say, for the past 5 years. Those people had no jobs to do. They did not add value. They were not necessary at the SABC. So, of course, that is, a very quick solution for any organization is to cut heads and cut down on the salary bill, but that is not necessarily the correct way to do things. And we believe that this is a haphazard process that the SABC has embarked upon. We believe there was no proper evaluation done in terms of which job categories, why people are redundant, and of course we in this so-called retrenchment process or the consultation process, we hope to find out how they have identified 981 people, permanent employees, and 1,200 freelancers as being redundant.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the SABC's rationale for restructuring is that it is in dire financial straits. It says the particulars of this precarious financial position is a matter of public record and it has been conveyed to employees, organized labor, the shareholder, the parliamentary portfolio committee and other key stakeholders. And then also it says, in addition to the above difficulties, it has been discovered that under the auspices of the erstwhile management of the SABC, there has been many instances of unlawful and irregular promotions and increases afforded to employees, resulting in an inflated remuneration cost and payment of salaries to employees that are not commensurate to the actual positions occupied by employees. The SABC is overstaffed considering its actual operational needs. Now, the thing I want to ask about is people being employed at incredible salaries. We've had, for example, the Robert Marahawa case, which was public. But we've also had a bunch of new intakes now because the SABC wanted to relaunch its image as an impartial, trusted news organization. It had to attract talent and, of course, it had to pay market-related prices. So how does this square with dealing with this issue? And generally, my understanding of retrenchments is first, in last out, and of course last in first out, But that would mean that all the current, for example, presenters or people like Bongani Bengwa and others would have to be let go because they are, of course, the people who've just joined, and the SABC cannot actually afford to have them there. I'm thinking of someone like Ridi Klabi, who's just taken over JJ Tabani's show. How are you going to fight for your members who've been invested in the SABC for many, many years, vis-a-vis the people that the SABC has brought in as a strategy to actually make itself viable, believable, and credible again?
You see, Karima, that is the fundamental problem with this whole exercise. Now, when you talk about inflated salaries and cost being paid to people, then this particular management of the SABC should then look at themselves, as you have said, Robert Morawa and all of those people that has been appointed. Now, an organization that is in trouble does not go out and spend more money. The first thing that you do is of course, to contain your costs. Now, you know, by appointing people at these exorbitant salaries, it's like drinking champagne on a sinking ship. And this is exactly what has been happening at the SAPC currently. It is a vote of absolute no confidence in the current employees of the SABC, who has been able and willing to create a independent broadcaster that has been trusted. But because of management and board of the previous SABC, they were not allowed to do so. And we know the SABC 8 story, and we know that people lost their jobs and they got reappointed as a result of them standing up against this management. But you see, one should look at the problem. The SABC keeps on saying that this is a long-term problem. It's coming over a period. The fact of the matter is that government appoints the board. The portfolio committee has the duty to oversee the board and the board management. That has not happened. Now employees must now be put out of jobs because of that. Now, it cannot be right. No one's terms can that be fair and right, correct. If government, the portfolio committee, and the board did not do their jobs. Now, there's a quick solution to this. That is to go to those people who were supposed to do oversight properly and then reclaim the money from them. All the fruitless and wasteful expenditure must be put at their doors, and they must account for that. And by doing that, one would probably save a lot of jobs, but you would send a very strong message to any other board or management of an organization that you will be held liable.
Mr. Du Boysen, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back. There's quite a lot of questions I still want to ask. It's just gone 9:15. We're taking a short commercial break. When we come back, we continue our conversation about potential mass retrenchments at the public broadcaster.
SMS Karima on 31702.
It's just gone 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. You're listening to the Karima Brown Show, and I'm in conversation with the president of the Broadcasting, Electronic Media and Allied Workers Union, Mr. Hannes Du Boysen, and we are talking about what is being termed as mass retrenchments. Some people saying up to a third of the actual staff content, both including permanent and contract workers, could lose their jobs. Mr. Du Boysen, the process of Section 189, we all know how it works. Of course, there is meant to be consultation. You are meant to agree on the need for the business to be turned around. And I think nobody can disagree that the SABC obviously needs to be turned around. It's the how, it's the detail. And of course, the integrity of the process that is involved in the consultation. How have you been involved so far? Has management played open cards? For example, in instances like this, you are supposed to see the books. You are supposed to be able to go through the financials and together with them come up with a strategy that will get the SABC out of the red and into the black.
Yeah, look, that process has not kicked off completely. Remember, in September, the SABC served that defective notice. We then complained about that, and that notice was withdrawn. The SABC was supposed to go and do some homework and tell us how many people has been affected or will be affected by this contemplated retrenchment, and then also in what job categories. The notice that came back today simply mentioned the number 981 and 1,200 freelancers, and it did not specify specific job categories. Mm-hmm. It just said across the entire organization. Now, of course, what must happen, and you're quite correct, in the consultation process that is now going to ensue, the SABC will have to disclose. Now, one would think that what should happen is in any of a turnaround process is that the SABC needs to present a strategy.
Yeah.
And in that strategy, a structure must follow.
Yes.
So
an organogram needs to be arranged, and you need to be able to see how top-heavy you are and, of course, what kind of, whether you are fit for purpose, essentially.
Correct. And then from there, one should then request more information. If for instance, the finances, we've been complaining in the past month about conferences that's been held at quite expensive hotels, despite this entire process.
Are conferences held by who, the board or the management?
Say again?
Conferences held by who, expensive conferences, the board or the management?
It's management. Mm-hmm. Management had several conferences at quite an expensive hotel. And we've complained about that, and we said that the SABC has got facilities, boardrooms, all of that, and that should be utilized. You cannot spend that kind of money and then at the same time you want to put a lot of people out of jobs.
Mm.
As we speak today, they've advertised positions, and we think it is patently unfair that they do that, because if there are redundancies in the organization, then people should be given an opportunity and afford the opportunity to be reskilled or to apply for those particular jobs.
Hmm.
Now, the SABC is advertising positions. They are probably going to attract some people to come there who's going to leave a permanent job, being appointed at the SABC. And if we then apply the life oath principle, which is last in, first out, those people will be out of a job in 4 months' time. So something does not sit right with this whole process that the SABC is currently following, and that is most certainly something that we will put on the table once the formal consultation process will begin. Of course, the CCMA is going to be involved in that process. They're going to facilitate that process, and of course, we will also rely on their expertise and intervention to ensure that a fair process be followed.
Mm-hmm. We spoke earlier about the fact that you still haven't seen a turnaround strategy. I've spoken to several communication ministers, because there were quite a few. I haven't spoken with Ms. Nomvula Mokonyane yet, but we were made to understand that the SABC would be underwritten to go to financial institutions to begin to get money. And of course, one wouldn't think that a financial institution will part with its money if it doesn't have a turnaround strategy. Have you seen a turnaround strategy that is based on actual data, that is based on the needs of the organization in terms of its strategic vision? Have you seen any turnaround plan on which the indicators that how many people must leave, which places and so on, is based on?
Absolutely nothing. Nothing to date has been presented to us. We were told in the meeting that we had in September that the SABC wanted to make a financial presentation and tell us about the finances. We know about the finances. We know that the SABC is financially in trouble, but one of the suggestions that we have made, even during the wage negotiations, is we are saying that there are 40 executives earning 47 million rand a year, is that not where you should start cutting?
Yeah.
You know, reducing that particular cost, seeing what redundancies you have, because if you cut one executive, you can save 100 jobs at the SABC.
Is there a justification, Mr. Du Bois, and sorry to interrupt you, for the justification of 40 executives to run the SABC? Does each one of them in the current organogram as it stands have a defined role, a defined set of responsibilities, a defined set of KPAs? Are they measured? Or is this what you inherited from the Cloudy era?
Well, I think one must give credit to the new management. I think they are trying to undo those wrongs that happened in the previous regime and era. But of course we thought that if they should have started with their executives and say, there are divisions that sits on that executive level which we believe is totally not necessary. There's duplication in the sales and marketing divisions that has been created, general managers that has been given jobs without advertising those jobs. And we've also seen a notice today that the SABC intends to approach the Labour Court to undo some of those appointments and also to address the issue of increases that has been received unlawfully, as they claim.
This is one of the things I want to speak about, the supposed unlawful increases. I remember last year around about this time when we were, not last year, but a few years ago, when the SABC 8 story became a big deal and where there was a ban on the way in which you would report editorially. There were people who, for example, said that CWU members were very happy with Cloudy's administration because he had pushed up the salaries of a lot of their members, and that people were exponentially rewarded, put in positions that they weren't fit for, and their salaries had gone up. Is any rational process being undergone now to see whether person A in job X is the right person, earns the right salary, or was put there through a funny process because they were able to push through a particular political agenda attached to the clique that basically ran the organization into the ground?
Look, we have the Public Protector's Report when governance and ethics failed, and certain recommendations or findings were made in that particular report in respect of certain people's salaries who has been increased. There are other things that also happened, like the purging of staff, people who simply because they disagreed with that management, where contracts were terminated and paid out and they were asked to leave. Now, those people worked in very bad conditions and they were literally pushed out. So we represented quite a number of those people at the time and we begged them not to go because they were the people who were serious about governance. And this was raised by us in public forums, and we raised it with senior management, the portfolio committee and so on. And we just hope that those people will not become now targets because they were really and sincerely pushed out of the organization and paid out. And what we say is there must be accountability for those people. People involved in those processes who willingly participate and drafted the contracts and sat down in negotiations, so-called negotiations or consultations, and was instrumental in purging those people. Those people must be held responsible and accountable. We are not aware of any audit that was done. We've not seen any names. We've not seen any submissions by management in respect of who received salary increases and who they intend to take away from.
So essentially, there isn't actually transparency about, let's say, a grading system. And are you suggesting that there's complete inconsistencies? You could have a situation where two people are doing the same job, but one person earns an incredibly more larger salary than the other person. Is that what exists?
Well, there's quite a number of them. And And that is that came as a result of a so-called salary anomaly process, which was intended to eradicate certain historical discrimination.
Yes.
in salaries and so forth. So that, of course, is something that must happen and should happen. But that process in itself then resulted in certain people being upgraded and paid what they're supposed to be, and other people left behind with no apparent reason for that. Well, the reason that's been submitted by the SABC is because, you know, they don't have money, and of course we understand that, but that disparities are still in the workplace.
Mm.
So that is something that we also need to look at in this entire process.
Obviously, it's an incredibly loaded environment because so much wrongdoing and malfeasance happened there. So, for example, Mr. Du Boisson, have you been informed, let's say, by the SIU or any of the investigating authorities through your management, which properties of people were attached when they were making wasteful and fruitless expenditure, for example? Has any monies been recouped? Has certain people been, put on a list that these people were promoted because they were necessary to establish a patronage network, for example? Is there any update on how the financial cleanup is happening? Because obviously, without that context, it's difficult to understand the retrenchment process or to trust it that it won't be used for, again, nefarious aims. You need a set of rational criteria that informs what the SABC needs and requires.
Look, one can only look at the audit financial statements of the SABC to see how much money has been recovered from them. So the answer is no. We've not received any feedback from the SABC. We have requested some time ago, about a year ago or so, we have requested the SIU reports to ensure that there is no favoritism, that certain people be disciplined, charged, dismissed or whatever, and other people's not. But we've not received those reports from the SABC, and of course we would like to have that kind of transparency. The whole issue is here, and just to come back to the previous issue of selection criteria and so on.
Mm.
The SABC has now proposed certain selection criteria, which is not what is prescribed by the Act, because the Act says fair and just criteria must be used. Now, for us to agree to any other criteria, there needs to be trust.
Mm.
And there isn't, because there is no transparency at this point in time. Mm. One would have expected the SABC at least to call a meeting with us to say to us, listen, we are now finished with this process and we are going to issue a new notice. Late this evening, they just send out notices and of course, shocked the entire workforce of the SABC. There's no forewarning, nothing whatsoever. So there is a concern that there is no trust, there is no transparency.
Mm.
We are not taken into confidence by the SABC, yet we have to sit across the table one of these days, and we have to then start consulting on a process. We need to negotiate on severance pay packages and those kind of things. So we foresee a lot of problems and a lot of tension that is going to happen in the next few months.
Mr. Du Boisson, a final question. Say, for example, you don't win, right? People have to be dismissed and so on. There are people who've worked for the SABC, for like, 30, 40 years. Does the SABC have the money to pay these people's pensions out, what is due to them, given the fact that the organization is actually, bankrupt, that it cannot pay anything? Are those funds ring-fenced? Are people's pensions safe, for example?
People's pensions should be safe at all times. And the SABC is, fortunately, not responsible for paying out pensions. There is an independent pension fund which employees and they contribute to a pension fund which they seek to amend to make that pension fund more vulnerable to market instabilities and so on. But that's a discussion for another day. But yes, the concern is that, of course, if severance packages are going to, let's call it voluntary packages, will be offered, of course, employees who's been working for the SABC for a long time is not just willingly going to accept, you know, let's call it peanuts that is going to be offered to them. And of course, we are also worried where the SABC is going to get the money from to lay off staff, let's talk about the permanent staff, 981 staff members, where, you know, if they have to pay them 1 week for every completed year of service, they have to pay out their leave pay, notice pay and all of that, it will be quite a large sum of money.
Which the SABC doesn't have.
Which they don't have.
Even the retrenchment plan puts the SABC in a weakened financial position. It can't affect retrenchment plans and transparent retrenchment plans because it doesn't have a blue bean.
Absolutely so. And of course, you know, and we're getting back to the issue of transparency. Where are they going to get the money from? So someone must have, we believe, must have sponsored the money in some other way for them to be able to embark. Maybe that is part of the government guarantee, we don't know. But those are all information that we will discover from the SABC and, of course, information that we believe would be in the public interest.
Final question, Mr. Du Bois. This obviously is going to lower morale. People have been traumatized at the SABC. People have been through quite a lot. And, of course, lots of people have been involved in altercations with each other. People have been in labor court and so on. This is going to affect the morale of the organization. It's going to affect the output and the productivity of people. We're going into an election. The SABC is the public broadcaster. It's the only access for 9 out of the 14 million television viewers in the country. How are you going to keep people's spirits up when you're trying to navigate what is clearly going to be an incredibly conflictual process?
Well, you know, when the first letter was served in September, one could have sensed the morale. You know, when you see SABC people in that building, it's not a happy lot of people. You can see on people's faces they are worried and you know, they are depressed and so on. So you know, and we were able to fend off the first notice. We knew that it was only going to be temporary, but we thought that if the SABC would then go and make those calculations, that they would, you know, come to their senses and see that they've got DTT channels and a number of channels that they must provide content for, and they need people to do that, and that they would maybe, you know, come up with a different plan and say, you know, we're actually going to need more people, and we're going to appoint more people in this process. But it's very difficult. You know, staff are very demoralized. And our biggest fear, of course, is exactly what you have mentioned now. There's an election coming up. If the SABC now is going to make a fatal error in releasing the wrong people, depleting the SABC's resources in terms of human resources, that election may not happen, or it may lack seriously in terms of content and quality at the end of the day.
All right, Mr. Du Bois, we will leave it there. It's obviously a story that we will keep our focus on. Much still to be discussed and to be done, but a lot of uncertainty in the face of mass retrenchments at the South African Broadcasting Corporation.